This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Why Adnan is successful, especially in the urban areas? There's expectations that some of the urban seats held by the opposition parties might actually be lost to the Barisan Nasional. What's your sense of what's going on in urban Sarawak?
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on. Number one, I think in urban Sarawak, we have large numbers of ethnic Chinese voters who are very plugged in into how the economy is doing and very well aware about some of the inefficiencies that have, dogged the state administration in the coming years, in the past few, several years. And by that, I mean, problems with respect to transparency, corruption, and so on. So when Adnan Satim came into the picture, he vowed to eradicate or fight, all manners of graft as well as tackle the problems of illegal logging. And so he came in, although he has been a long-term fixture in Sarawakian politics, but when he came in, he still came in with a breath of fresh air because he fought against a lot of these issues that many Sarawakians, I think, had pretty much given up. Under the previous administration.
What some analysts are saying is that what Adnan's strategy is that he's kind of promoted a Team Adnan approach. It's not a PBB plus, all the other SUPP and other parties, but a Team Adnan. He's centered the election campaign around his own personality, and that one of the things that he's done quite successfully is appropriate the Sarawak for Sarawakians agenda, which is a kind of state rights-based program.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Sarawak for Sarawakians agenda is quite popular among the ethnic Chinese in Sarawak. In the poll that we've done, and I think the data is released on our website, we noticed that large majority of Sarawakian Chinese, favor greater autonomy and rights for the state. And I think Adnan has co-opted that strategy and has actually broadened it to include very specific issues or policy statements that he intends to pursue with the federal. I think in the lead up to the state election, he talked up some kind of discussion that he's had with Prime Minister Najib about going through a phased strategy of attaining some form of autonomy, and that eventually lead to a Sarawakian-based civil administration in the state, some peculiarities like using English in state administration and so on. So we have that. But on the Team Adnan approach, it's very clear that there are lingering issues with respect to component parties in Barisan Nasional. Some of them are not very well liked by voters. And at the same time, the surveys that I think they have done, as well as we have confirmed, indicated that voters trust Adnan and they like to hear what Adnan has been saying and they want more of it. And so I think Adnan has co-opted other people into under his wing, in the sense of form this Team Adnan, in order to kind of diffuse the very, I think, divisive image set by some of the component parties. And it, at the same time, it also serves to downplay the infighting within Barisan coalition partners, particularly between SUPP and UPP, TERAS and SPDP.
Ben, Melissa here. Just going on the topic of issues and what resonates now with voters in Sarawak, we recently spoke to Peter Minos from Parti Pesaka Bumi Putra Persatu, and he said that the urban seem to be more plugged in into the national discourse, what's happening with Putrajaya, issues over 1MDB and the like. Are you, from your survey, from your polls, do you see a difference between issues that resonate with perhaps a rural area versus the urban areas?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there is a significant divide in terms of how voters are interacting with respect to issues. Rightly, the urban voters are more plugged in with national issues, so they are concerned about problems with federal government and state-federal relationship. But voters in rural areas are more concerned about cost of living, as well as gaps in the public services and infrastructure in their area. And those are, I think, much tougher issues to overcome on the part of Barisan, partly because a lot of the issues are long-standing and takes years to address. So I think in response to that, Barisan Nasional Sarawak, and along with Adnan, has basically talked up a rural development program. But I think it is going to take time before it can be seen. But that said, the presence of opposition parties in rural areas are relatively thin. And in this particular state election, we find that most places, I think, will continue to support the Barisan Nasional, with the exception of some places where there has been a history or tradition of either supporting independent candidates or civil society-linked opposition figures.
In fact, I understand that Adnan Satim says that he will not invite independents into his government if they win. Now, Ben, there's a larger problem here. We have 66 Ural seats versus in the total of 81 seats. That makes 80% of the assembly has Ural representation or representation from the Ural areas. Does it mean that Sarawakian politics is unlikely to change in the near future? That perhaps what we need to see is the economy changing the demographic nature of the state, creating a greater degree of urbanization. That's the only real chance for a change in how Sarawakians vote.
Yeah, you know, sure. I think it's going to take a couple of cycles, electoral cycles, 10 years, 15 years before we're going to see significant changes. And largely it's because with the redelineation that has taken place last year, we see a solidifying of the rural constituencies in the state. At the same time, like you said, 80% of the seats are rural, but actually only 50% of the population is rural. So there is a relatively high degree of malapportionment or concentration of voters in urban areas, whose voting value is a lot less than rural constituencies. And so the politics are going to be dominated by developmental politics, rhetoric surrounding that, as well as personalities that can resonate in the rural areas. And it means that it's going to be tougher to see any kind of significant change in Sarawak in the near to medium term. But that said, I think Sarawak, in some sense, would not really affect a significant change on national politics, partly because it's operating on a different cycle and it's mostly a regional phenomenon. We are going to see Sarawak, returning BN into state government again. I think the big question mark is how many seats they're going to win. Some people are saying a minimum of 66. Some people say a maximum of 72 seats in the state assembly. But I think the larger battle ahead is for Putrajaya at the federal level and within the seats in Peninsula.
Last question for you, Ben. Is a win for Barisan Nasional in Sarawak a win for the state rights-based agenda? Some people are saying this is just an electoral ploy, this is a way of getting votes, but nothing significant is going to happen once they come back to power. That ultimately, there is not going to be much headwind for this state rights or Sarawak for Sarawakian agenda. Because if there was, would that change a lot of things in the Federation? I mean, the whole dynamics of the Federation, would it change as a consequence of a truly and a genuine push for state rights?
Well, I think we are at the threshold of something relatively new and uncertain. First of all, I think the Sarawakian for Sarawak agenda has been there simmering in the background for many numbers of years. But at the same time, in our conversations with state leadership within the Barisan itself, I think there is a very strong sense of wanting to push for their rights as contained under the Malaysia Agreement 1963. I think many of us here in West Malaysia are not very well aware in terms of what it contains and its implications. And I think given the relative weakness of the central government and the strong reliance of Putrajaya on Borneo, Sabah, as well as Sarawak to retain itself in power, I think that gives an inordinate share of leverage on Sarawakian as well as Sabahan politicians to assert themselves and to gain more with respect to their agreed rights as when their states joined the Federation, more than 50 years ago. So I think we are going to see more of this. But whether or not it evolves into something that is orderly, that is something that is proper under a Federation scheme of things, remains to be seen. I think it's going to be a negotiated process. And so far, based on what we've heard or seen with respect to the negotiations by Adnan Satim and Najib over Sarawakian autonomy issues, it seems to be a fairly orderly, phased situation where there's a lot of compromise between the two. If that is the case, then I think we will see a peaceful transition towards a more devolved structure of power. However, given how thin the electoral margins are going to our next general election, you know, anything can happen. And I think what happens in Sarawak is closely also watched by politicians in Sabah, who will wait their turn to assert themselves as we approach the general election maybe in a couple of years' time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.